Blog Talk Radio.
Again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here once again. Amen. And it is a blessing to be here. Wouldn't you say that? We do thank you for taking out your time to be a part of this hour. Amen. The Bible says, you know, that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And we know that each and every one of us have a purpose in our life, and we like to think that we are all on one accord, amen, and working according to our purpose, amen. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And again, I do thank you for the gifts that you bring. I thank you for your time. I thank you for everything that you do or you have done over the years. So we thank you so much. As we move forward, for those of you who are calling, listening by internet, we are an interactive ministry. And if you would like to call in and be a part on the line, you got two ways that you can connect with us. Amen. You can call in on the line, and the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Your name will pop up, and we're going to open up the mics to everyone that's on, amen, because we like to be interactive. We are operating also by Zoom. If you would like to come on Zoom and connect a voice with a face, amen, you can go on to 505-563-6808. Let me repeat that again because I may have been saying that too fast. 505-563-6808. And the passcode for that is Psalm 23, capital P-S-A-L-M, without an S, 23. Once you connect there, you can, once you connect with the pass, you will be connected on Zoom. So we got a number of different ways that you can connect. And we'd also like to let you know that at the end of this, if you'd like to share this dynamic message, and we have so many men and women of God that bring the gospel forth, you can share it with someone that you may know. Amen. What a blessing. I remember years ago we used to sit and listen to music. Amen. Listen to the Temptations or anything. You know, back in, you know, in the day, to listen to get music together, amen, because we enjoyed it. The Word of God is the same. You can be a blessing to someone else. So you can go onto Blog Talk Radio and then type in We Can Begin Again. That's Blog Talk Radio. Type in We Can Begin Again, and you can listen to this message if you miss it or if you would like to share it with someone. Amen. You can listen to it as many times as you would like to get these nuggets that are going to be shared this evening. And this man of God who comes on, Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles from out of New Jersey, he has a word for you. So please, man, please, sir, tell a phone, tell a friend. You know that Pastor Miles is on the line and he has a word for them tonight. Amen. So we're going to move forward, and the next voice that you hear after prayer will be none other than the Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the gift that you have given us to be able to come together on one accord in unity and in spirit, and we do thank you from the bottom of our heart. I pray that there's anything that you see within us that's not of you, Father, we're asking, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just cleanse us, clean us, Heavenly Father, whatever you have to do, Heavenly Father, that we might have a closer relationship with you. Father, open our minds, Heavenly Father, that we might you might unveil the mysteries of your word and help us along our journey. Father, it's the time that we need help. It's a time like now, Heavenly Father. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and we gladly, Heavenly Father, receive you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. And now we are on Zoom with Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles. Amen. Pastor Miles, thank you so much for taking the time to study diligently to bring forth a word for us, and we are just anxiously awaiting to hear what God has placed on your heart for the people of God this evening.
Thank you, Brother Moderator, for having me once again. First of all, can you hear me clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, can the people hear me clear by way of telephone? If someone can get, because I'm on two ways. I have my telephone on and I'm on Zoom.
Those of you on Zoom, are you hearing it clearly? Just say yes. Those who are on Zoom, can you hear us clearly? Amen. 804-973-631. Amen. For some reason, I'm not getting a connection there.
Amen. Just want to make sure they're able to hear me by way of telephone. If not, I'll switch to my phone.
We should. I'm just not receiving a message or response. Folks, they normally send me a text if they are unable to hear. So we're going to move forward as the Lord says so. And I am looking for, okay, right. I'm not getting any messages here.
Okay.
So we're going to move forward.
Okay. Amen. Well, first of all, once again, thank you for having me, God.
As far as the study. The studies have been very well and very good and very deep. We're getting a feedback. You have another device connected. We heard you before, but I can't hear you now. You must be muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, you're having a trying time. I guess a powerful word is going to come forth on today with all of the feedback and transmission, as you say.
Amen.
But I greet you all in the master's name of Jesus the Christ, the bread in a hungry land, the bridge over troubled water. And it's our study on tonight to actually look at Proverbs 25. And as I have did in the past, one thing the Lord has laid upon my heart, which I believe the Lord has dropped into my spirit. And once again, I'm not the end all, the be all. This is some things that the Lord has revealed to me that I really believe that we'll plant a seed in someone so that you can get in prayer and say the word for yourself. As it did in Acts 17:11, have a readiness of mind. In the process of having a readiness of mind, search the scriptures daily to see if these things are thus and so. So let us have another word of prayer and we get into the word. Father God, we ask in your son Jesus' name that you will move me out of the way. Speak through me, speak to me. I set myself in agreement now with each and every spirit that's here, that we may eat it up, digest the word, and live it out. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I have about 13 sections of which I studied over the past month to break this down, as I did in the past. But let's start with verse 1. The way verse 1 is written had made me look at something that had happened throughout my life. These four statements I'm about to say to you are not in the Bible, but these are things that have been said, I have heard said over time. White rice is white. Fat meat is greasy. Get the hay while the sun shines. Cub must stand on its own bottom. And the right jelly will make the jaw shake. Now, inside of these statements, most of the time I've heard those were oral traditions or oral statements that were said. And what I would do is I would get my book and I would get my pad and my paper and I would write them down. And why would I write them down? I wrote them down so they wouldn't be lost, nor would they be forgotten by me. So let's take a look at verse 1 in chapter 25, where it states, Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, copied out. It's been my understanding that Solomon was born way before Hezekiah. If you did study the character of Solomon, you'll see that he was born sometime around 90 B.C. And Hezekiah was born 739 B.C. So there was a big gap between them. And Hezekiah apparently had heard of these oral traditions and had his men get these oral traditions and write them down. And we give credit to Solomon for them. Some would say Hezekiah wrote them. But if you look and dig deeper, you will see that we would have no reason to believe they didn't come from Solomon. So with that being said, I would say that these are oral traditions and oral statements that were said that Hezekiah the king had his scribes to write down. Let's look at number one, comments on royalty. Now, as we know, my heart goes out to the family, to the royal family, by the losing of the queen. But the first thing that came across when I was watching the news and watching all that was going about, I thought about leadership of a king. Well, let's look at verses 2 and verse 3. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of the king is to search out matters. For the heaven for height, and the earth for depth, and the heart of the king is unsearchable. What this verse is saying here, God has the right to conceal matters. However, it is the duty of the king, it is the duty of the leader to search diligently to find out the matter. Now, and also it says in verse 3, on the flip side, let's look at leadership. Let's look at the king. There are things that they know. There are things that they're going to know. There are things that they are going to do. The followers are not going to understand. I remember many times, many years ago, there was a rapper that had a song called Get Your Weed Up. And he said, you will never in a lifetime understand how I think. There are things that go on that a king may know. And there may be things that a king may not know. However, it's concealed, but it's his duty to search it out, to get an understanding, and give it to the people. People are to receive. The people are also to understand that your mindset is not on their level, because that's why they're in the position that they're in. Number two, a part, what I'll call it part B, the counsel for a king. Let's go to verse 4 and verse 5. Take away the dross and silver. Take away the dross and silver, and there shall be forth their food. Take away the wicked. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Well, let's look at this. If you go into the Bible, I believe it's in the book of Psalms, I think it's Psalm 66, where it talks about a refiner of silver. The way you refine it, you put heat to something. And if you ever watch a video, when it speaks about refining or purifying gold or purifying silver, that stuff that floats up to the top is called dross. That stuff is the impurities of Psalm 66:10, if you want to use that for your reference. That stuff is used for your impurities, and they will skim it off the top and make it more pure, if you will. Make it a precious metal. But also, for a king sitting on the throne, you get that mess away. Move away those impurities as far as the wickedness, the unrighteousness, the badness. That will make his throne and establish him the more better. So if you want to know a definition of dross, the impure matters, the trivial matter. Think about if you remove the dross out of your life, the stuff that doesn't matter. How much pure and more righteous would you be? Let's move on to the last part of humility before the king. Let's look at verse 6 and verse 7. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. Better is it that it be said unto thee, come up hither, then thou shalt be put lower in the presence of princes whom thou hast eyes seen. Now, let's think about this. It's better to be asked up than to be asked down in the presence of high people. Have we heard that somewhere before? For a scripture reference in the New Testament, if you want to take a look, we're not going to turn there. You can go to Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 7 to 11. Now, these are the comments on worldliness, the leadership, the counsel, and humility before such a person. At this time, I'm going to open up the mic for any questions, comments, or concerns that you would like to add at this time. Okay, let's move on to the next. We're going to look at the relationship with a neighbor. Now, normally I read from the King James text, but to not have double reading, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version, starting at verse 8. Rush not, or soon to quarrel before magistrates or elsewhere, lest you be found not to know what to do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame. Verse 9. Argue your case with your neighbor himself. Discover not and disclose not another secret. Verse 10. Lest he who hears you revile you and bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. Well, what does that mean? If you have a problem with your brother, you take it to your brother. You talk. You talk. There are so many people and too many people willing to go to court over matters that all you can do is talk about it. And many times, the one who's taking someone to court, and scripture is going to say, you're going to be the one that's going to look bad when the one who takes the court puts you to shame. Then don't talk about it to another person, because now you're going to have a bad reputation in the community. If you have a problem with your brother, you have a problem with your sister, go to them and talk. Anything can solve it. Now, it may not be the answer that you want to hear, but it's going to be a solution to the problem. If you want a New Testament scripture behind that, you can go to Matthew 18th chapter, verses 15 to 17. Also, relationship with neighbor, let's go to verse 17. Withdraw from the neighbor's house. And so, tasty. Well, what does that mean? You have to know your social etiquette. See, it's one thing to go by somebody's house, but don't spend too much time there. Because if you go and you spend so much time into a neighbor's house, you're doing one of two things, if not both. Number one, you're invading their privacy. And number two, you're wearing out your welcome. So, be mindful of your neighbor. Be mindful of how you act. Be mindful how much you go over there. Be mindful how much you want to talk and have beef with somebody and go to court. Because see, today, people are so conscious. Many people don't want to work. All they want to do is take somebody to court, let the judge impose sentence, person up under their thumb. But watch it. When all you could have done is talk, that thing will more than backfire on you if you don't follow what the Bible says. Let's go on to number three, which I have is comments on speech. We're going to go to verses 11 and 12. I'm going to come from the King James Version on this one. A word fitly spoken in due season is like apples of gold and setting of silver. Like an earring or nose ring of gold or an ointment of fine gold is wiser and prover than any ear that listens and obeys. Well, what does that mean? Have you ever seen something that was very good to your eye? Beautiful piece of art? Could be a car. Could be a building. Could be a lamp. But it has your attention. It's beautiful. You really enjoy it. Well, it's talking about a time of and fitting word is precious and pleasing. How many times has somebody said something to you that was right on time? The words that they said fit the scenario, fit the situation right on time, and you received it. Or how many times have you used words that was fitting right on time in the right season? And it was appreciated. That is the same way as they're talking about this art. You see something that's pleasing to you. And your words fit at the right time. It's very pleasing. A good and understanding thing. Let's go to verse 15. By long suffering, a prince persuaded. And a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Let's think about this one in verse 15. A long forbearance and kindness of spirit. A judge or a ruler is persuaded. A soft speech breaks down the most bone-like resistance. You don't have to, as my father used to say, jump up and down and act like James Brown to get your point across. Have some patience. Be calm in your spirit. Come with a soft answer. Because the one who's actually going to be judging this matter is going to look at your disposition. It's going to look at how you do things. It's going to look like why you do things. And on the end, it's going to break everything down to your favor. Verse 18. We're talking about he that found honey, eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled wherewith and vomit thee. I'd like to take this year, and I took the word honey, and I took the word honey to mean a good thing. They can be good to you, but know when to say it's enough. Sometimes you can have too much of a good thing. There were some people that to them, too much, never enough. No matter how much they have, they want more. Too much is never enough. And according to Scripture, you're going to get tired of it, rebuking, and you're going to vomit it. Think about the honey. Think about the good things. Think about all of the good things that you're receiving. Think about all the good things somebody else is receiving, but they still want more. I call that the Daffy Duck syndrome, where Daffy Duck has all his gold, and he ducks up and down on the person. My, no, 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 back. How much more do you need? How much more do you need to have? We're talking about comments on speech. Let's go to verse, I'm going to read this one from the Amplified version. Now this one here is going to need some explanation that I'm going to bring to you. And it's fitting that we're in actually in that season. The north wind brings forth rain. So does a backbiting tongue bring forth an angry disagree. What does the rain have to do with an angry countenance and someone actually backbiting? Well, when you go into and you look back, the north wind that is speaking really has nothing to do with the rain. But what happened in that time, northwest wind generally dominated the weather pattern in Israel all around about this time, late September, early November. And this time of the year, they get much rain. And that wind's actually whirling around the rain as it is falling, causing much destruction. Think about the hurricane that's actually going through the Caribbean. The wind is blowing, the rain is falling, and it's causing much destruction. That is what happens, as it says here, about the backbiting, the tongue, and the countenance. Verse 23 again. The north wind drives away rain, this is King James, so doeth an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue. Now, the only good thing that comes out of that wind and that rain, the person that it's happening to can use that for a good time or a good season to get their ground right. As of right now, we're in late September. That, I believe, is called their rain season there, where they make ready and prepare their ground for to get ready to plant for the harvest. I have one more before we go before and open the lines. Number four, comment on reliability. Someone being reliable. Let's go to verse 13. Cold of snow in harvest time, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him for a refreshing soul of his master. Illustration of it. You have a message that you must get across. So what do? You get one of your servants to go deliver that message. And when it comes back to you, it's pleasing to you, because let's read this in the Amplified. Like the cold of snow brought forth from mountains in the harvest, so is a faithful messenger to those who sent him. Think about the snow that's coming off the mountains, how cool and refreshing that is to you. For he refreshes just like the water comes down from off of those mountains, cool, crisp, and whatever it comes for you, for your product and your land and your ground, how refreshing that is. How good would it feel for you to give a message to one of your messengers? Your messenger takes that message, delivers, completes the mission. How would you feel knowing that it was done and done confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Do not put your confidence in an unfaithful person. You're getting ready to have your favorite meal, whatever that favorite meal may be. And that one tooth is giving you problems. You can't get around in no kind of way. You know how aggravating that would be? I believe it's James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's an unfaithful person. Why would you want such a person in your kingdom? Because all they're going to do is aggravate you. Yes, it is James, verse 8. All they're going to do is aggravate you. They're not going to be faithful to you. Because what they do, what's their motive? They never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Why deal with them? Why have them around? You want somebody that's reliable. At this time, Brother Moderator, I'm going to open up the mic for any questions, comments, concerns at this time. Someone would like to share?
Oh, mics are now open. Any comments?
Let's keep going. Next one I have is here. It's Deceptive Promises, verse 14. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. Whoever falsely boasts he does not give is like a cloud, or like clouds and wind without rain. How many times you hear people sell a worth ticket? They say they're going to do this, that, and so. Scripture is telling you they're like a cloud without rain. And they boast about it. All they're giving you is lip service. Such a person is deceptive. All you got to do is see what's in the person's heart, the way they act. Just watch the way they act. I went over verse 16, but I'm going to do it again. This one is dealing with moderation this time again. I think I read it out of turn. But let's go to verse 16. We're going to talk about moderation, need for moderation. Have you found pleasure, sweet like honey?
Mm-hmm.
Eat only as much as sufficient for you. We've already talked about that. With moderation. Where let enough be enough. Next one, insensitivity, verse 20. He who sings a song with a heavy heart is like him who lays off garments in the pool and like vinegar upon a soda. What are we talking about? A person that can be insensitive. It's cold outside. And you know of someone who is in need of a coat. And they have a coat on, and you actually take it away from them. How much more insensitive or careless or careless on another human than to be insensitive on such an example I've just given? Or you're home, and you have just finished cooking, and you know that a person that's there with you is hungry, and you just finished cooking, and both of you are in the living room, and you go make you a plate, and you sit down, and you eat right in front of them, and don't offer them a morsel, but you know that they're hungry. How more insensitive can you be? How more can you be? One thing I like about the book of Proverbs, you don't have to sound much. Because these words on these pages preach themselves. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, all you have to do is read it and let the word of God read with you. We don't have much more time. Let's keep going. We've got about 18 minutes or so. Let's go down to the it's called Practical Examples of Love. Verse 21 and 22. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou hast heaped coals upon fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. You got an enemy here. Come on, let's be honest. Let's be realistic. You want to give your enemy something to eat so they can do more to you? Do you really want to give them something to drink if they're thirsty? But I want you to take a look at something more deeper in the scripture that the Lord has revealed to me about this. When someone is actually your enemy, the reason why that they really are your enemy, they are not willing and have not been loved. They haven't been loved in such a way that they... Why does someone hate you? They really don't know the real you as being the Christian. What they see is the outside. And what you're actually doing by giving them some food and giving them some drink, you are giving them the love that they truly need. It's a practical way of showing love to someone who is really unloved in a certain area. When that hit me one night, I was asleep. And this scripture was on. But when you do that, you are actually representing Christ to them by way of you and the teaching which God gave through his word. You're loving them in an area where they really and truly need love. They are hurting. It's easy for us to see just to do funny or brother so-and-so crying, and we go and we love one of them, and we love them in the area where they're hurt. That's our friend. But we are called to save souls, to help save souls, bring souls to Christ. We can't save anybody, but to bring souls to Christ. And the way we can do that is love them in the area where they need to be loved. Now you're diligent. Don't look at it as if you're giving them energy to come and because that love is going deeper than you and I know. Open up the mic, Brother Moderator. Any questions, concerns, comments?
All mics are open if there are any comments, questions, in reference to what you heard.
I found a few matches for that. Did you mean comments over coffee?
Alexa, off.
All right.
After left, you stop speaking in tongues.
Anyone like to comment? Any comments? All the mics are open. We have a lot of numbers on here.
Okay, let's go forward. We have 13 minutes. Husband-wife relationship. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Let's move on to the next one. Get on that and get up off of that. I think that's self-explanatory. Emotional impact on unexpected goodness. Verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We talked about earlier about the snow, the water coming down off of the mountaintops. Think about on a hot summer day. You get that cold drink. You get that cool, refresh that water, and it's very refreshing to you. Sometimes to the degree you can feel it just go down the bones inside of your body. That is how good news can be to you and I. When we hear it from a place afar. Be it, someone had an operation, wasn't expected to make it. Lord told them to refresh against that cold water. Someone who may be in California, someone else may be in Maine, and you found out you have an addition to the family, healthy baby. Good news from far along. Whenever you get good news for fall, think of that cool, refreshing water. Or whenever you have a nice, cool drink, think of that good news that's unexpected. Tie one with another, which will help build your spirit man, build your knowledge, and the word of God. Opposition to the wicked. Let's go to verse 26. A righteous man falling down to the wicked is like a troubled fountain and corrupt spring. We think about fountain water, and we think about spring water. Many years ago, my father used to come home with jugs of water from an actual spring where close by where he used to work. And that was some good tasting water. But if you take that spring water, that fountain water, and that water gets polluted, that water is good for nothing. And if you have a person who is a righteous person, now I'm talking to you people who stand on the word of God. You say you stand on the word of God. If you bow down to unrighteousness, if you submit to that unrighteousness, you are just like spring water or fountain water that's polluted. No good for you. You are just like that unfaithful man. You're a double-minded person, and you're unstable in all your ways. Thank God. Too many have a conversation early today. Too many. It's letting the world tell the church what to do when the church is supposed to be a showcase of Christ for the world. But we are going by worldly standards so much that the church, that I'm trying to see some people call us Christians, because we're not to lose the power. When you're the side that's already won. If you bow down to the unrighteous, you're such a man. We have two more to go, and I'll be done. Verse 27, we're going to talk about pride. It is good not to be. So for men to search their own, it's not to glory. Stop looking for your own self-righteousness. Stop looking for your own. Stop looking for people to beat you up. Stop looking for man to lift you up by title. Stop looking for man to lift you up by deed. Humble out. Because that pride ain't going to do nothing, but eventually give you a fall, as we saw in some progress, and we said this in context. Now, with pride being said, I'm going to take it down to verse 28, and I'll be finished. Have some self-control. Watch to have self-control. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You hear that? He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. You have no defense. You have nothing else. Anybody can come and do anything. But this is dealing with you because you have no control. You have no self-control. So you bring a destruction to your own self. Is that what's in you? Now to recap, let's go back to verse 1. These are all sayings in the context of Judah. Wanted to put in writing so that they would not be lost. Because Solomon has been born in 970 BC. Hezekiah was born in 739 BC. Solomon, 58
to 59. You're a God of miracles. You're a God of miracles.
And Hezekiah died when he was about 51 to 54.
Miracle worker.
Think about it.
You're a healer, such a tyrant, the God who provides, my God. You are Jehovah Raha. You lead.
That's the time to have a moderator.
You are healthy.
I put it in the
world. You are power, the might, and you are healthy to die. You are God, almighty, you're now alone.
I have no idea where that's coming from.
The Raha, my God. The strong God who sees and acts on our behalf. God, we thank you that you are all that and so much more.
Go ahead, Pastor.
I have finished all of the verses. And I do place this back in your hands at this time.
Yes, sir. I am going to open up the mics at this time. Give me a minute so I can open up all of these numbers. Hey, right now, everyone who is listening, your mic is open. If you would like to make a comment or something that you have heard that resonates in your spirit, please do so at this time. I have a lot of different area codes on. You're just welcome to speak. One of the things that I would like to make a comment on is, and I don't go too far back, is in terms of compromising with the wicked. I think that was on verse 26.
Yes, it was.
When you're compromising with the wicked, and when you compromise you know, with those who have no good in their heart or the wicked, you not only are compromising, but you also you are weakening your reputation. You're weakening your reputation. It's almost like becoming polluted, you know, polluted water or mud, you know, adding water with mud. You know,
yes.
it you know, it just takes away from who you are and how people see you. What would you say to that, Pastor?
I would agree with that all the way. Because the fact, and even it ties in with some of the other things that I have broken down that you mentioned that would give me another angle. An unstable person, which we have talked about before, about reliability. I think that was verse 19, where it talked about that, a confident, unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Compromising.
Mm-hmm.
Being with the wicked, nothing good.
Mm-hmm. Nothing good comes out of it.
Yeah, nothing good comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people may think on the short term that is good. I remember Bill Parcells, Hall of Fame football coach. When he coached for the Dallas Cowboys, he used to tell the young players, he said, stay out of the gentlemen's clubs. Stay out of there. He says, because it's good comes out of it. And one guy didn't listen. And he went. And he got shot in the leg. And he eventually got cut from the team. So nothing's good going to come out of it. Nothing's good going to come out of it as far as, you know, with the wicked. Righteous man, you're standing upright. You're standing up for something. And then you're submitting yourself to the wickedness. God is already going to deliver you. Don't feel you have to bow down to that. Like we have a lot of our popular Christians, I would call them, celebrity Christians, who will preach the word of God, but then they will backtrack on it later because they want to be ostracized by the world for the gospel of Donald Trump. Nothing good will come out of that. If we're not good.
Amen. Are there any comments online? We have a lot of numbers online. Anybody would like to make a comment? You know, your voice could be heard. You know, all you have to do is just speak out before we close. Any comments? One last time.
I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed you, Pastor. I got on a little late, but I enjoyed the way you broke this down. You really taught us some things. And you gave a new perspective of ways to look at the chapter, and I just really enjoyed it. So I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the way that you took your time and you broke it down and you really fed us some good meat.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bishop Harris from out of Chicago. Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you, my brother and friend.
Any other comments? We have a lot of different area codes on from different states. Any comments? And if you don't have anything to say, one of the things I used to say is when you have sitting down and listen to the word of God and you are enjoying the food, sometimes we just don't say anything. We just enjoy the food or the service. Amen. We're going to close it out with Pastor Miles, and we do thank you for taking the time to be a part of this hour. Pastor Miles.
One thing I do have to say to you all, because I pride myself on my integrity, you heard music in the background. You heard a prayer going forth. When the brother moderator always said, mute your mics, turn it down because you can hear everything in the background. I'm actually on the Zoom. And in the background, I had another church service on that goes on parallel to this one. It's called Wild Worship on Wednesdays. And sometimes when this is over, Brother Moderator and myself join them. And apparently that was over early, and my microphone on my other screen was knocked down. Another church service came on. So that which you heard came from me and my computer and me not placing myself or that on mute. And I didn't want you to think, where did that come from? Or Brother Moderator didn't have together. No, that was not on him. That was me, Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles, who did not mute what he was supposed to mute.
That's quite all right. I've made that error a number of times in the last couple of weeks, just being tired and not being on mute, but not unmuting it. And I'm speaking and thinking that everyone is hearing me, and they did not hear me. You know what? We all falter. You know, we all fall short. We all make mistakes, but we don't judge one another. Amen? Amen. Archbishop Palmer was on listening, so, but he wasn't on the time that, you know, that error. He would have made a comment as well. But, again, we do thank you, each and every one of you, for Bishop, we definitely got to get you back on so that we can hear a word from you as well from out of Chicago and what you're doing in Chicago, and be a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen. As we come to a close, we thank you. We thank each and every one of you. I'm going to ask Pastor Miles if he would just close it out in prayer, and then we're going to close on that note. Thank you so much.
Let us pray. Father God, we come to you. Thank you for life, health, and strength, Lord. Thank you for the word which we had on today. Lord, be down within us. Is there anything that's in us, Lord? We ask that you remove it. Bless us and keep us. Now unto him that is powerful, that has the power to establish us according to the gospel, the preacher of Jesus Christ. Keep your mind, will, imagination, intellect, and emotion pure before him and faultless. And may the sweet communion of this Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in each and every one of us now and forevermore. In the church city.
Face the dawn.